Welcome to Platinum Property Training's podcast, where we will be talking about business, money, and let's not forget the economy, real estate, and bringing in real inspirations. These are people that are doing some great things in our world. Like, share, add this to your playlist, and subscribe to keep track of our updates. Okay, you beautiful people, sit back, relax, let's listen, and let's get down to business. Okay, so you're very, very welcome to Platinum Property Training. And tonight is one of our first interviews we're doing with Chris from the Liberty Soup Run. And we've got a guest, Ed Martin, in as well. And we're going to be running through a couple of scenarios that happen on our own streets of Dublin on a nightly basis, every single night. And I think your name has come up around their circuits a good few times. So what we want to try and do is try and build a relationship into the future as well. And then try and take as much knowledge out of you and try and understand what actually happens in life if things go wrong, which you're seeing on firsthand every night. So, Chris, you're very, very welcome to Planet Property Training. You like your.
Oh, yeah, absolutely love the setup.
You're famous now.
I feel very important. It's incredible, great little studio, and the layout was just more than I expected. You know, I was expecting this company a little mic and do a few questions, but I wasn't expecting this. So,
it's incredible.
Fair play to us all. Yeah.
Well,
and thanks for having me here.
Absolutely. And as I said to you just off screen there, off camera a few minutes ago, you know, if you've got some, hopefully tonight we're going to hear some horrible things, some great things, and then some progress into the future. And I mean, if you've got people there that have come through and you want to bring them up here, you're very, very more than welcome to use this room anytime you want. Yeah. So let's get into it a little bit. In case Ed is my own, in the world of business, Ed's my own private mentor, and jumps in. Dublin man, and he's gone back working in property since he's...
Super.
I think that's all you ever done, isn't it?
That's all I ever did,
He's still only a young man, he's only a young man there.
It's all the Botox work.
So he'd know the streets of Dublin very, very well as well. In fact, that's one of the rocks that...
Looking at that actually, and you know, it's incredible because it says... Never give up, you know, and look, that's like one of our logos, and you know, having a bit of faith and never giving up. So that's
absolutely
ties in with tonight, definitely.
Yeah,
you know,
and the other side of it as well. I know there's in the world of business, when things go wrong, people can end up on the streets, and they can end up in very bad ways. So I think what you do is an absolutely fantastic thing. We watched you probably behind the scenes for the last couple of years.
Right, okay.
So I'm delighted that we're here today. So just a little bit about yourself, what you do.
Yeah, so look, I'm just an ordinary fella from the Liberties. I have a family of a wife of four kids. I work a 9-to-5 job. I work in construction. I'm a banksman for the cranes and, you know, busy doing that as well. But yeah, there's nothing exciting about my life. I'm a father and a husband and I just live a simple life, you know.
Yeah. And banks, man, we were only talking about this the other day. We were driving down and seen someone wrapping up on their little lad. What's that? What's this? What's he doing? But we were actually talking about a banks man wrapping a load of stuff. Surely the guys, sometimes them cables snap.
Oh, it's crazy. You know, like it's one of the most serious jobs on a building. So you have to be because you know, you're putting everybody's life at risk. You're lifting big loads up and people's walking underneath you. I'm walking in town at the moment. The crane is gone and I'm still on the site, but we are lifting concrete beside the Westby Hotel, actually, and there's people walking under, you know, and you're saying, if that went, like, people are dead. So it's a serious job. It's a lot of concentration and a lot of, you need a bit of, to be able to handle yourself as well and let a roar at people and, you know, get out of the way, you know. So, yeah, it's a serious job, but I love it. Pays the bills and, you know, it keeps the wife happy.
Yeah, very, very important one on the sites as well. So a little bit about the Liberty Superrun. Obviously now you're from the Liberties, which is a fantastic place in Dublin City. A little bit about the Liberty Superrun. Where did you get the passion for?
So to be honest with you, many years ago I suffered with a bit of alcohol myself, right? And you know, I fell on hard times, but I went away and got some help. And the place where I went to get the help, done all this type of work, helping people, giving back, and, you know, so I said, I don't want to do this, you know. But anyways, I put it aside and I finished the program, went home, and I was walking on the building sites. But inside me, something felt like I was missing, you know, saying, what do I need to be doing here? I was missing something. So I heard, I believe it was from God, that's what I believe. And someone said to me, look, you need to go out and help. So one night I rang my uncle. This is Fran here. Fran, I rang him and he's a good community man. He knows everybody in the community. Yeah. Does a lot for the community in the Liberties. I said, I want to go out and help people. I said, you have to help me. He said, yeah, let's do it. So we got a little table this size and we got two flasks of water. And off we went one Thursday evening down to Mead Street.
Yeah.
And we set up and I think we got two homeless people on Air Force Night. And I got a buzz out of, you know, saying, this is what was missing. This is what was missing. So I said, I'm going to come back next Thursday. And we kept going every Thursday, every Thursday. And before we knew, we were looking down the road, COVID kicked in.
Yeah.
And there was queues of people. Now, them two flasks turned into four flasks and turned into 10 tables and turned into piles of food, piles of volunteers. And it's just grown since then, you know. It's just the homeless crisis in Ireland and worldwide. It's just, it's never ended. And it's getting so bad, you know. It's, well, that's how we started, yeah. And that's, it's just had to grow into this.
Right. So yeah. It was just you trying to fix something in your life.
Yeah.
And you felt that if you were meant to fix this.
It's a passion of mine. I mean, all my family are involved, my kids, my wife. You know, and I just have a heart for it. I just love being able to reach out and pick somebody up, you know, and be able to help them because it could be any of us, guys. It could be, do you know what I mean? It could be any of us. And it's nothing more satisfying than to be able to put your hand down and pick someone up. And, you know, and to see them a couple of weeks later and say, do you know what? I remember you gave me a cup of soup and you told me you loved me or you told me like I'm here if you gave me a phone number. Mm. And that's what it's all about. And that's what people need, you know, me included.
Yeah,
me included.
Absolutely. So a lot of people that may have found themselves in hard times or dropped into a thing, they obviously have this. Now, again, I'm no expert in this level. That's why you're here.
Yeah.
But I mean, they obviously must feel completely lost or that they have nothing or they have no one. Like, I mean, when I was dropping my little lad done a stint with the guards there last week and he got a week's trial for the fourth year, transition year. And I mean, each morning I was dropping him in. Of course, I knew this was coming up, this interview, but my eyes were even opening a bit more. And it was 9 o'clock in the morning. I was like, holy Jesus Christ. Yeah. All these people just coming out of absolutely nowhere. But they all have their own story. They all have their own.
And that's the thing, Paul, you know, like everybody has it. Behind every homeless person is a story.
Yeah.
You know, behind every addiction is a story. Alcohol, no matter what it is, it's someone's son, someone's father, someone's mother, whatever. And there's always a story behind someone that's living on the streets. And that's what us as humans are quick to judge. Like, and sometimes, like, guilty myself, you can judge so quickly. But some people we talk to, like, they could be the only people we talk to all day long.
Yeah.
For instance, we met a guy, I haven't spoke to someone in 2 days. He was the four people I spoke to. Sleeping in a sleeping bag on Merchant's Quay in a little yoke. A man, he came home from China, had a big business. An elderly man, like, I'd say in his 60s, early 60s, mid-60s, and sleeping on a sleeping bag. And we're the only persons that he's been talking to. So in between that, depression's kicking in, you know. He took back the alcohol, so that was an example. He had it all. He came home, broke up with the wife, and he's living on the streets.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I was going back through your Instagram there the other day, and I seen an elderly woman. I think she passed away now. She used to come down because she was an elderly woman that used to be witches. She used to come down. She was just lonely. She wasn't homeless. She wasn't. She used to go down and give a dig out, reading back through.
Like, there's loads of people. Like, and it's not only that. It's there you go. Like, it's people living on their own as well. And you do what you come down towards. Even though they don't want you, just come down to have a chat.
Yeah.
Just come down and say, do you know what? A bit of company. Yeah. Do you know, and they stand there for the 2 hours or they're on the streets or whatever, and they just yap to us. You know, and it's when you think, you say, wow. Mm. Do you know, and there's so many stories out there, guys, like people living alone, people living in doorways. It's just, it's crazy. It's absolutely crazy.
And I think that's a lot of the times, you know, when you're in the world of business that you're in, you switch off to all these different things.
Yeah.
And I'm born bred talent as well. I'm no silver spoon in our mouth, but it's nice to revisit, you know, to either help out a little bit where you can or revisit to where things can go wrong when, you know, if it does land on your door, next thing you know, this world of, you know, fantastic life can end in a heartbeat and you could be.
And that's it, in a heartbeat.
You could be in there. So you do a fantastic day, a fantastic job.
No,
so
thank you.
What would a normal night look like out there in the streets of Dublin for you? Like,
so normally on the streets of Dublin, like, so, as I said, I work a full-time job and we have got volunteers. In the daytime, our vans will be going around, like, getting ready for tonight, filling up, collecting donations, wherever, whether it's clothes, sleeping bags, food, and the vans will be prepared for tonight.
So where are you getting that from?
So we have social media.
Okay.
And people just bless us. People just give us donations.
Is there a drop-off?
Well, just drop off. So when you get touch with us on Instagram, and we go to the fans and collect them in the daytime.
Okay.
And then we have a little small storage unit over in Glasnevin, which a girl pays for, which we're so happy about. But it's not huge. It'd be a bit bigger than this room. Yeah. And that's where we store everything. But we can still never have enough, you know, because that fills up and it gets empty just as quick.
Yeah.
But so I suppose then on at 7 o'clock every night, the vans will be packed up, the volunteers will be ready. And, you know, it's just not just a matter of giving someone the keys and saying, there you go, go and feed the homeless.
Yeah.
There's a lot more, and there's a lot more risk. We train people in. We don't just, like, throw people in the deep end and say, yeah, go and feed the homeless, because it can be scary for people.
That's it.
It can be very scary. So we go out at 7 o'clock and we start their route, and we could be out till 10 o'clock, you could be out till 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
Right. You know, with the last couple of weeks alone, we were pulling up on Thomas Street and we could be there for an hour outside Lidl on Thomas Street. I'm not joking, you guys. It's like you come out of the cracks in the walls. It's just, it's crazy. All roaring and shouting, please, because they think they're not going to get fed.
Jesus,
think there's not going to be enough stuff. Think there's not going to be enough sleep and breaks. And that's the reality of it. That's what one night looks like. And that's 7 nights a week. It's getting busy. I've seen probably over 100 people a night.
Fuck.
In that little area. In that little area alone.
So like, this extremely wealthy country we have, and we're all very proud of it. There's something being let down here somewhere along.
Well, that's the question I'm trying to get answered at the moment, you know, and that's why I'm always on social media fighting for our homeless, because, you know, we need answers. Why is this going on in this day and age in Ireland? That is a rich country. Yeah. It is a rich country. We've plenty of money, and, you know.
What's the social content on your social? Social media. What is the contact that people would be able to check you out on?
Liberty Super on. Yeah, so it's Liberty Super on 6 on Instagram or
six.
On Facebook, Twitter, all the social TikTok.
TikTok.
Only joined TikTok recently, guys.
Okay.
You know, I'm loving how it's great, isn't it?
Playing the cats here.
We're on that, but you know, it's about getting the message out there. It's about getting more support and spreading the awareness, and that's what we do. Like, I used to be camera shy, and now I'm always on doing videos about, like, what we're doing and who's helping us and who we helped, and because it needs to be put out there.
Yeah.
You know, our government need to know about this, and they do know about it, but we need to get the message out there more to the right people and try to change this, what's going on.
And then that's what you are doing. And again, whatever we can help you here with social media, we'll try and help you. And you will get the social media.
Yeah,
that will,
of course.
You know, be annoying you. And so a typical night then out in the streets, like Thomas Street, you pull up, you could nearly feed. You know, what is it, like, it's obviously not a cooked dinner.
With all this now with the government, they're trying to close us down. They were at one time, didn't want us to do it. So if you wanted to say, you rang me, Chris, can I do your pot of soup? And they're trying to be in this bylaws, they're trying to be in it. So Chris, can I do your, I would have to say, Paul, have you had some training and where you're cooking the food? And you know, and I was just taking the goodness out of it, you know, but we kept going on because I'm going to feed these people starving. So on a typical night, we'd have sandwiches.
A typical Irish mammy is not going to,
you know, have that.
He's going to have it ready in that.
A big pot of stew and there's loads of people out there. You know, of course you're going to. So we'd have sandwiches, we'd have, like, the homeless love sugar and crisps and chocolate and all this type of stuff. So in our vans, they're all kitted out. You'd have all shells, we'd have, like, pot noodles, we'd have crisps, we'd have chocolate, we'd have sandwiches. We'd have, like, drinks, soups. We'd have some hot food. Then on the other side, we'd have sleeping bags, underwear, stockings, everything. Like, everything that survival kit for the night that a homeless person needs, we'd have in advance. And that family would go out every night and come back in.
And what's typically for a survival kit for a homeless person?
For a rough sleeper.
In Dublin now today.
Yeah, so for a rough sleeper is you can get a sleeping bag in Aldi a little for 5 or 10 euros, no good.
Yeah.
So for a rough sleeper, you probably pay about 40 quid for a good heavy sleeping bag.
Right.
And then you'll have a foil blanket in the winter. You'll probably see them. The ambulance. You get into them, into the sleeping bag. You'll have thermal hats, gloves, and scarves.
Yeah.
So it's just all warm gear. And then you give them some warm soup or, you know, something to keep. Usually we have flask hot water bottles as well, is another thing. Fill them up, give them hot water bottles as well.
Right.
And would the lads or ladies then hold on to that sleeping bag for a period of time?
Unfortunately, some of them do and some of them don't, you know. because again, the addiction, you know, you're just thinking about the next morning, you leave that stuff there. Council come. I've seen the council come all the time and take all this stuff and throw them into the bins. Like, I've had many of our arguments at the council, like taking tents and all the belongings in, as I mentioned, on
their
the
life.
Canal. On the canal there a couple of years ago, there's a guy in the tent, you remember? And the council truck came along with a grabber and grabbed him while the guy was in the tent. Oh, never even checked, nearly killed him. You know, so it's just things like that. And, you know, yeah, that's what you're dealing with, isn't it? You know?
Then on the night, I know we were talking about this earlier on as well. I mean, with all the addiction and all the help, you just simply want to give them, say, pot noodle or whatever, and just show them that there is a bit of hope there and there is a bit of life. And obviously trying to get them to move on or whatever, you know, to the next stage of their life. But aggression must kick in here quite a bit because how do you deal with that? And
so, do you know, look at the homeless guys, they respect those, you know, and look at, we have to understand as volunteers, like, these are broken people, you know, they're angry, they're probably craving for drugs and we pull up and, you know, who does someone they can vend on, you know, they were the only ones you can, well, we take it, but there's only a certain amount you can take. And they say, look at y'all, whatever, enough's enough, I'm going to close the van down, I'm going to go. And most of the time, 99% of the time, they'd calm down and, well, you still have that 1% that would probably kick the van and say, ah, do you know what, these are users, just don't do anything. But look, again, you have to remember what frame of mind that person's in.
Yeah.
Mental health.
And why he's felt, you know, felt for the day.
Yeah, what he's felt for the day, you know. And like some days, people come to our van, we wouldn't have Hotfield left, or we wouldn't have Sam's left. Is there a bloody super? I don't even know Sam's left. We're at the scene 100 people just before you.
Yeah, you know.
But they don't understand that. They don't understand. They just want to be fed and, you know, yeah.
And then towards, like, in just trying to get my head around in the middle of the night, say, I've seen you as, like, early morning.
Yeah.
Then I've seen you as late at night. Are the vans operating? So, obviously, it's completely voluntary. So I assume all your lads are in work during the day and then someone takes shift roles. You have rotas and...
So my phone, even sitting here now...
I've seen it.
So we have an emergency phone number and all of the guys would have it. We have it all over social media. We have it on our vans. We have... You know, and if someone's really in need, they'll ring us. And I've often got on my bed, me and my wife, and still do at 2 and 3 in the morning. Wow. And we could drive to, for instance, Tallaght to see someone. Because, do you know what? They need, if they're ringing that out of the morning, they need, you know.
What would that call be like? Like, what is that?
So it'd be just basically, hello, is this Liberty Superrun? Yeah, this is Liberty Superrun. Listen, my name is James. I'm not losing my home or whatever. I'm staying up in the park in Tallaght. I'm just using Tallaght as...
Yeah.
I've not on freezing cold, can you give me a sleeping bag? And you say, you're not going to say no.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So if you're out of bed and you've gone to the van and if you're up there, could be talking to for an hour, he'd tell you like, what's going on.
Yeah.
And 9 times out of 10, then we'd draw him in and say, look, we can help you. Yeah. We can help you. What's happened for you? In addiction, what's going on for you? And when he opens us with them, we give him a card, give me a call tomorrow. If you want to go away to residential treatment or whatever else, we get you there. And that's what we do also.
So in the midst of getting the sleep bag, he would naturally go back into the field and go
back
sleep.
Back into the field or else a tent. We give out tents as well. You know, pitch the tent up and into the tent. And then they'd ring you the next morning, like, can you come back up to me tonight? And, you know, and then it's just a circle. They're going back and forward every night. Then some nights you go back, they're gone. You're saying, where are they gone?
Yeah.
Do you know, where did they come to?
Yeah,
it's mad the way you say that because we were... For out, just as you drove into our building here, where they're flattening down tire, knows what we're going to say here. Right as you drive into the building, there was two lads and a girl were sleeping in a van. Right. I couldn't help it. If I was going out late at night, they were there. If I go in early morning, they'd be there to be washing outside the van or they'd be trying to get going. So one particular day, I think I had 40 euro or something in my pocket and I said, oh, could I have to have a chat with these? Because they'd be waving and they'd be chatting normal people. So I got out of the car one day, stopped it. It was a Sunday, I think it was, outside. And them two boys were really, really into having a hard few days. Now, they were on heroin. He told me everything about it. He just said, look, he was a carpenter. He was over in Bray. The other lad that was with him, I think he owed a drug debt or he owed some money out to drugs. But he was sleeping over at the square in a tent. And they set the tent on fire and it burnt his leg. Wow. His leg was like this, and this was here. I think they were there for probably about a month and a half. Wow. And like this, the things he was telling me, I just couldn't believe can happen to.
It's crazy, Paul. Look at the stories we do here and the things we do see.
Yeah.
It's just, it's mental. Like it's, if I told you some of the stories, you wouldn't believe it. Like you'd say, oh, that's not happening. But it is happening. Do you know what I mean? Like, again, it's the addiction. It's not the person. It's the addiction that's taken over the life.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And it's just, it's so sad. So sad.
And is there, like, in the midst of the night then, you must all see a lot of, obviously, people on their last will to live. Like, they're really throwing in the towel. All the time. They're just giving up.
People say to us, I'm going to kill myself tonight. I don't want to live tonight, you know. And it does happen. People do it, unfortunately. You know, and again, mental health is a big, big thing as well.
Yeah.
And there's homeless people dying every couple of weeks on the streets, and it's not being out there.
Yeah.
You know, it's not being highlighted. And that's what we're trying to do now as well, you know, try to stop all that.
Yeah. That leads me to that one. And this is really where this whole thing came up. We were talking about social media earlier on. So when we used to be, you know, on a Saturday or a Sunday when we finished work, we still do, we bring the kids in to see the buskers in town. Yeah. I think it's a, we walk down, can't even think of the name of the street. But anyway, I used to see this girl, Anne.
Oh, yeah.
So that face, I'll never, ever forget. And the reason... We have Platinum Property Training, and we have Platinum Fitness Group, which we started up on the death of my mum passed away just a few months ago. I started to get a bit fast, started to get out of shape, the usual stuff. And I made a commitment then that we were going to do this training and a bit of jogging and try and do 5 kilometer runs a week.
Yeah.
And if I didn't do it, one of the other property mentors that are in here, I'd give him €1,000. Right. So that gave me enough, because I'm never giving anyone anything. I'm like, I'm not new wasting a fucking penny. Yeah. Coming from the heart of talent. If I lose a fiver, I lose sleep. But anyway, we got it to a certain point. But at Christmas, we were meant to try and get you on board. But Christmas just passed, and here we are now tonight. But again, what really triggered it was when I seen on social media on your page, that girl Anne. Anytime I was in town, it was a face that I'd always remember. She'd always just seem to walk by the car and the van.
Yeah.
I must have seen her 1,000 times.
So Anne, even talking about it now, I get emotional, to be honest, because we're looking after Anne about 5 years now. Anne was just a lovely, lovely woman. You know, she came from a normal family. She was a nurse. She worked as a nurse for many years. She travelled the world. You know, I don't know what happened in our previous background. Yeah. And we don't ask that question. We just look after the individual and the person. But Anne, from what I'm hearing lately, is like she lost her child, and she took the alcohol. Yeah. And she lost her job, and she had great support from her family. Her family used to come up to her all the time and try to help her, try to take her off the streets. And you know, we just grew. Anne was one of these people you just loved, you know. She was like a mother to some people, you know. And she was known everywhere, you know. She wouldn't bother anybody. She'd sit there and she'd drink a little sip of whiskey, you know. And it's just heartbreaking what happened to her. But as I said, she was a nurse, and she came from a normal family. She had kids, you know. And she passed away on the streets. Why did she pass away in the streets? She was staying in a hostel before called the Brew in James Street. And that closed down, and she was happy there. But when that closed down, she couldn't find a safe hospital, basically.
Yeah.
She wasn't comfortable in some of them because they're crazy.
Yeah.
But she took to the streets, and she just amounted. She just got used to living on the streets. And every time you go down to her, Anne was real private. She wouldn't tell you anything about her only. She'd crack a joke, you see. You know, she'd get your phone off. She'd love listening to Aslan, and you couldn't get your phone back off. And then say, man, I have to go. Like, come on. But that's just the type of character she was. And then when we found out only last week that she died.
Yeah.
Like, that was like someone stabbing me. That was like losing my mother. We loved her so much. Mm. We cared for her. And we had hope for her. We never don't say there's no hope. There's always hope for somebody. So there's no such thing as a hopeless case, you know.
No.
And Anne was never a hopeless case. I had great expectations for Anne. I had a dream one night about Anne. I shouldn't have seen it. In the dream, she came back and she was helping us out in the super. And that was a mad dream a couple of years ago. But then when I found out she died, I was saying, my whole family and the whole neighbourhood, everybody is just shocked.
Yeah.
Like, how could this happen to a normal woman living in a doorway?
Mm.
That's how she died, living in a doorway.
Jesus Christ.
No, 47 years of age.
Yeah.
47. Lovely looking girl, like back in the before she was an addiction.
Yeah.
And you know, I actually have a caring here on my case of her. You know, a girl made a stand. So that was a look at.
Yeah, that's the that's 100%. Yeah.
So, yeah.
So but when you know I what? Seen it then kicking in, I said, this has to be done for what we're doing. You know, we you know, everyone hates landlords and da-da-da-da-da. Yeah, yeah. We're normal people too.
Yeah.
And again, that was the last call in my own.
Yeah.
Fuck it, I have to do this now. I have to get this man up to have a chat with him to find out.
It's not even, like, we have a homeless crisis, guys, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's not even about that. We can't give someone in addiction, there you go, these are the keys to a brand new house. What's needed now is more. Like, the drugs are so bad now in Ireland, right? It's crazy. What's needed is more support, more residential treatment, more like drop-in centres. Again, like we do have a homeless crisis, I totally agree with that. But again, you can't give someone on the heroin the keys to a brand new place. It doesn't work.
Yeah.
They need the proper supports first.
Yeah.
And that's what needs to happen. And that's what we're trying to fight for. We're trying to get our own rehab centre. We're trying to, you know, we're trying to go bigger and try helping as much as we can. We're sending people all over Europe. I think I was saying to you earlier, in the last year, probably year and a half, we've probably sent 200 or 300 people away. To different rehabs.
And so it's not a case then that just there's a hot cup of tea for tonight and
no,
tomorrow.
No.
This is they're actually coming on board. Yeah. You're building trust, you're building relationships.
So we named the two vans. One of them's called Hope and one of them's called Friendship.
I have to read them down as well. Yeah,
and we always shake hands with a homeless person. We always say, look, there is hope and whatever we can do to help you. And they're out and say, well, give us a tenner, will you? No, not that type of help. Not that type of help. I can help you get off the drugs. I can help you get a safe hostel. Yeah. I can help you. We can make a call. You let me know. And 90% of the times, like, so most of our, some of our volunteers now have people that lived on the streets and are helping us again now.
So
it's a ripple effect. Yeah. And they're going out pulling other people out of doorways now. So it's incredible, guys. You know, and I'll challenge anybody to come out and do it for one night.
We're going to take you up on that offer because we want to get a few people that are online tonight.
You have asked much, you know, when you're offering the support system in, and you know how many of them actually make it through the far side?
So probably 3 in every 10 would make it.
Yeah,
3 in every 10. Yeah,
I have a nephew of mine, and he got to the halfway house thing, and then unfortunately he overdosed and. That's desperate.
Absolutely. And this is what I'm saying, there's more, we need more resources. We need more counsellors, we need more drug addictions, we need, you know, like, there's not enough of that, guys. There's, like, it is out there, but it's not advertised. It's not.
Yeah.
You have to go really searching for it. You have to, you know, there should be days, like, I don't know, banners, that's how bad it's going. There should be banners up, we can help, call this.
Yeah.
You know, do you advertise alcohol on the telly?
Yeah.
24/7. Why can't they advertise, like, support groups? And, you know, and that's what. And it saved lives because, as I said, we lost another girl a couple of years ago called Eileen, mental health through the COVID. Henry Street used to be like 10th city. I don't know if anybody's ever went there through COVID.
Yeah.
It was absolutely crazy driving down. It was just tents all along each side of Henry Street. But we built this relationship with a girl called Eileen, and she had a bit of mental health. She's only young. She's only 20-odd.
Wow.
But we went one day, and she was dead in the tent.
Wow.
You know? So it's so hard as a volunteer and as a human being, like, to take. I used to carry this stuff home, and then it was affecting my own family, my kids, you know. And one day I was at home with Concy on the phone. My young one said to me, she said, Daddy, I never see you anymore. When I do see you, I always on the phone and say, whoa, okay.
Yeah, so now
I try, when I go out of the van the night times, I just lock the door and I just switch off back into daddy mode. Yeah. You know what I mean? But as much hard as it can be, but that's what you have to do because the trauma, like, I was holding a lot of stuff inside me, debts and people's stories and saying, I need to speak to someone, which I had to.
Yeah,
because you need to get off your own chest. If someone vended to you, you need to let it out somehow, you know. But that's what we're dealing with out there. It's mad.
How old was your little nephew? Is your nephew
at? He was 27, 28 at the time. He'd won a senior cup rugby medal and.
Yeah.
Just went off the rails, and I went and I was kind of mentored up in the Rutland Centre with him.
Yeah.
Went through the whole process, but he came out of that and he went to a halfway house and another halfway house, and then he just came up to the city one night, and I think the situation with him was he just took what he was taking before, which, you know, the same dosage.
Took too much of it.
Took too much of it, and he was found in the Marriott Hotel, in the toilets.
See, that's the thing. I think no matter what walk of life, I think everyone's affected by this.
Yeah.
And, you know, definitely a lot of people like, that are in
there. We're dealing with a 19-year-old young at the moment, right? From Temple Loge, right? I got a call off a girl only last week, and he came in and met me. But he was terrified to stay in the hostel, so we put him into a backpack or something. I think it's 18 quid a night, so we pay for it. But I'm not getting him a job. He's starting walking out in the morning on the same building, so where I am, right? Because he's a normal young fella, but he smokes a bit of cannabis and stuff. But if we had to put him into one of them hostels, he would have been destroyed.
Yeah,
and he would have been worse.
He wouldn't have come out
of them,
you know.
So he was gone, do you know what I mean? It's so young. We're looking at like 17, 16-year-olds in the streets. I'm saying, like, what's going wrong?
Yeah.
What is going wrong? But even through all this, like, I'm talking, it's a bit down at the moment, but it's great as well. Like, there's fun and the laugh and the characters out of them
all. It's unbelievable.
Like, see, if you're out to helping someone and you see someone then try it, which I know from talking to you earlier on, you've plenty of people that do come out the far side.
Definitely.
And, you know, with a bit of support or a bit of help helping on social media or whatever, or it is that just pot noodle first to let someone know that, you know, there is a little bit of hope for you here. Yeah. You know, you can do these things again. You might have fucked up right now, but there is a little bit of thing, and you're getting to see that. That's obviously what you're getting your kick out.
That's what I love, and that's what keeps me going, you know.
Yeah.
Because if I was out there every night just feeding and there was nothing happening, say, like,
I was trying to piece that in my head. I was saying, like, what has to be after this? But obviously, you're at the
We grabbed him, you know, and look, if I could headlock them all to the back of the van, I would, because everybody says it, but we can't do that, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Well, I was telling Paul earlier about a good friend of mine now, Keith Kenny. He won't mind me mentioning his name. Great to do an interview with me going forward. He was in addiction for 30 odd years, you know, when he came to us, he was suicidal. His mother rang, said, "Chris, we need to come over. We'll come over to the house," and he was like, gone. He was like that.
Yeah.
So we sent him away to Liverpool to a rehab center. Over 2.5 years ago now, he's had to change his whole life. And, you know, that's only one, you know, but to see him, like, he has his grandkid, he has his daughter.
Is this the lad that was in your van loading it the other night?
He had no teeth, he's getting a whole new set of teeth, his confidence back, you know. It's just incredible, and that's what it's all about. That joys me on even more.
Yeah.
And to look around and see him stacking the shelves in the van before, he used to be taking stuff out of the van.
Well, he's obviously getting out and able to talk. It's like in the property world, you talk a language sort of as such.
Yeah.
I mean, he's able to get out of the van and talk to these people.
And a lot of them would have known him.
Yeah.
And they'd be looking at him with his teeth.
Yeah.
Keith.
Be like a rock.
And he'd say, "Well, let me tell you what happened.
Yeah.
This is what happened. This man here got me over to a place in Liverpool or wherever. He said, it's there for you." And that's what it's all about, isn't it?
When you see something like that, and he is the hope for the, you know, the other fellas that are girls or guys or whatever, that saw him, you know, in his previous.
Yeah.
And now they're looking at that, and maybe they're asking themselves the question, geez, maybe I could do that as well.
This man can actually
turn things around, you know.
He's bringing light into the situation.
Well, that's it. But I mean, he's a success story, and you know, somebody that's effectively out there as a beacon that there is a light out there. Phenomenal for
maybe what you should do is you jump in this seat and you chat to him. You bring up your lads up here and we'll give you whatever you need, and you can show that.
I'd love to, because you know what it's about, as I keep saying, it's getting the message out there. Look, at everybody deserves a chance in life, guys. Like, everybody, nobody should look on someone and say, you know what, he's a bleeding, he's taking drugs, he doesn't deserve it. Of course he deserves a chance. Sit down and listen to his story.
Yeah.
What happened to him?
But it's a terrible illness.
It's an illness.
Like,
and you know, like,
you got to understand it. Like, it's not kind of something that you can give up easily.
It's a complete
illness.
Do you need a serious mental health
call?
Paul, it's like to come off crack cocaine or heroin or methadone. It's like some of the addicts are going to the doctors and instead of lording them on the methadone, they're hurting them up.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like, why would you do that?
You'd be giving them more.
Get these people off these. Like, you know, you would not be giving them more if you get them off it. But it's so hard to get off, and it's scary.
Yeah.
You know, and you get the excuses. Like, I'd say to lads, just want to go to treatment. Yeah, I'll go. Can you smoke over there? No, you can't. Oh, I'm not going. You're sticking needles in your arms, buddy.
Yeah.
You worry about smoking.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Don't be letting that stuff. And that's, it's just excuses all the time as well. You have to be ready for a pub.
Yeah.
You have to be on rock bottom.
Well, something gay, like, when you said it earlier on, you had a bit of an episode with alcohol at the start, did you?
Yeah, so what
something
happened?
Gave you a shout to it.
I nearly lost everything. You know, I got a big claim there many years ago, 50,000. I was walking the bins and I fell, I shot in my arm, and I got a claim. I just went off the head with it, you know. Mm-hmm. I didn't care about anybody. Start drinking and start taking some cocaine. And, you know, I just went on a bit of a mad one. And I nearly lost everything, tried to kill myself. My wife found me trying to thank God every day for her, because she was going out when I had it all planned in my head. She went out with the kids and my mother's.
So you've lived this road.
Yeah, I've lived it. Kids were in the mother's, and I got the rope, hung her out of the door. And thank God she forgot a purse, or she forgot something. But when she went back in, I was about to put her around my neck. And that was the rock bottom for me. And I don't mind sharing that.
No, look how many people you've helped now.
Yeah.
I mean, your stuff has gone out.
Well, she broke down, and that was it. I said, what am I doing with my life? But I had nothing in life. I was just... You know, I just broke down, so I need help. So I went and got help.
Yeah.
And here I am today.
Yeah, well, if you're
it's made me so much stronger and so much, you know, it's incredible.
Well, I mean, fair play to you for recognizing and going to take the action, because so many people go, I need help, but they don't take the action.
Yeah.
But you did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when you turn around and it's and you see what you've come today, it's inspirational.
And look at you. And I'm so grateful to be here. I really am, to have a lovely family, to be able to come back out and help people. As I said, my whole family is involved in this, and we all help, you know. And it's just, you know, thank my wife every day for doing that, because if she wasn't there, I wouldn't be sitting here,
because
and that's reality of it. But I am here.
Yeah.
I am here, and that's what's even better. I'm here and I'm helping, and, you know, I'm going to keep helping. I'm never going to stop.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to keep going till today I die, I'll be helping someone.
Yeah,
and that's because it's my passion. I love it. It's in my heart.
Yeah, that's the thing. Even in the world of property, when we even say, sometimes you think you can't do it, especially from younger people in the property world. You think, I definitely can't do it. But if you're passionate about something, doesn't give a fuck what it is.
Yeah. When you have a heart for something, you try for it, and you keep going and going and going. And some people just say to me, "Why would you do that? Why would you go and do that and give up all your time? We don't go on family holidays, and which you say, I know I have to go feed the homes and." A girl and help us out called Sharon Smurfy.
I know Sharon.
Yeah, Sharon. So Sharon helps us out, and she came down to us there 2 weeks ago, and she handed me and my wife a voucher.
Yeah.
For me, her, and the kids. For €2,000 to go to Centre Parks.
Yeah.
We haven't been away as a family, I don't know how long, a couple of years. Because we just feed everything into helping others. We never think of ourselves. Mm. I'm not saying it because, I'm just saying that's how much we love it. Do you know what I mean, Paul?
What's that? Quote that went into our group the other day, the pause is as good as the what was it called?
The pause is as powerful as the push.
Well, we didn't realise, we were just out helping people, you know, and we didn't want people coming to ours and, you know, saying, he's a slave. That wasn't about that.
Yeah.
It was nice to be recognised, you know, and say, that was an amazing thing to do. I couldn't thank her enough. Every big hug, I said, thanks so much, you know.
Did you enjoy it? Did you get down yet?
Well, no, we're going in May.
I love you.
Yeah, the middle of May we're going.
Don't give the bleeding thing away now.
No. It's booked. So that's kind of it, what we do, you know. It's incredible. Yeah.
We're hearing loads of mixed things about the hostile situation. What actually happened? Is these things as bad as, I heard a story the other day and it fucking hairs in the back of your neck.
Yeah.
Is that really... happening in hostels?
Yes, look, not all hostels, but 90% of the hostels out there are just sickening.
Yeah.
Really?
You know,
right.
It's just the drug use in them, the crowding, is so many people in rooms, the clean is the food. We are in the middle of the winter. I remember just a couple of months ago, so cold, guys coming up to us from, I won't name the hostel, I wouldn't do that, but from a certain hostel saying they knocked the heating off at 3 in the day, wouldn't turn it back on. These are government funded places.
Yeah.
They wouldn't give them hot water at the same time the night for a cup of tea. They wouldn't, there's probably 5 or 6 in a little small room. Drug use, it's the door to them. It's just...
One lad was saying he had to tie his shoelaces. Tie his shoelaces together because his shoes would get robbed.
We've often had people ringing us, my shoes got robbed in the hostel last night, my jacket. And you know, it's just crazy, guys. If people don't see this, And that's why people choose to sleep on the streets. We find safety on the streets.
Rather than being in the hospital.
It's dangerous.
And that's what happened with poor Anne. Anne found safety on the streets around all the community. She was protected by all the community. And she just found comfort in that. And she just got, there was no, like, not saying there was no helping her. I always believe you could help her. But she just kind of gave up. That's where she felt safe.
Yeah.
You know?
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So, brings us on to our best pals, the government.
Yeah.
What are they ever going to do to, like, help or support or, you know, see a light? And I know they probably do give out a lot of funding in different areas. Sometimes funding go to these different places and you hear stupid things happening with the funding. And I mean,
like, you have the Simon community, you have Focus Ireland. And look, at they do great work. I'm not going to say, of course they do. You know, and everybody tries, but what can the government do to help this? Like, there's 14,000 homeless in Dublin, right? Or in Ireland. There's 4,000 children living in emergency accommodation. Even though you say, wow, right? It's not a big amount to be able to fix. It's really not. In rough sleepers in Dublin, you could have up to 200-300 rough sleepers around. And that 14,000 and 4,000 children is only the ones that's registered. It could be a lot more.
Yeah.
The only ones that's down as homeless. For instance, if you're from the country and you come up to Dublin, you can't get a hostel because you're from the country. They tell you to go back to where you live. But that fella could have come up here because he's running in fair, he's running, you know.
Yeah.
But he's told, look at, and then you have to register as a homeless. And to be registered as a homeless patient, you have to go out and sleep on the streets. And one of these organisations come out and make sure you're sleeping in the doorway before you can get down.
So they go out and check you and stamp you. Okay,
and stamp you. What is going on? So again, the question, what can the government do? You can solve the problem.
Yeah.
Very easily.
Yeah.
Very easily. Because you're talking about more supports, more treatments, get rid of the drug addiction. The homeless, the 14,000 people, that's not a big amount for a rich country, of course.
No, it's not.
We can solve it, guys.
You're also going to have people that are naturally caught in that addiction cycle.
Yeah.
That will end up on the street anyway, no matter what happens.
Yeah.
You're probably still going to have that level of, while they're in this, you know, if they're getting caught in this bad scenario or this bad addiction thing. But I mean, it's not too long ago from I read a statistic saying 9,000. Now we're at 14,000. So that thing is multiplying.
It's climbing.
Yeah.
It's climbing.
That's 5,000 in a short period of time.
Yeah, that's a very short period of time.
4,000 children, because at Christmas, we done the van as a grotto at Christmas and we decked it all out and we had Santa in a horse and cart. And so we do the same thing at Easter. And we go around to all the hostels and all the kids. But you should see them kids, like these kids have none. They're living in squats, some of them are. Do you know what I mean? Hotel rooms, like mother with four kids. There's a programme on RT there, not only too long ago, about a girl living out in Bray with her two kids. And a young one wanted her friend to stay over. She couldn't stay over. You know, it's stories like this that affects the kids. The mental health kicks in then.
Yeah.
You know, like you can imagine living with four kids in a hotel room.
Yeah.
In a hotel room. I mean, for probably
crazy to say that we
but I mean, is the answer to start from that level up?
Oh yeah,
or you know, get the kids sorted first.
Well, every child comes a mother, so it's a family. It's, you know, like give them houses.
Yeah,
there's houses boarded up all over the place.
Yeah,
there really is, guys. If you drive around, you can pick thousands of houses.
You drive to the top of Tala tonight, where I'm from. If you go up to the top of Tala, or even around any of the neighbourhoods in around the top there, you can count 25 to 30 houses. Easy.
That's only in that area.
One area. And I mean, they're council houses.
Yeah.
They're not landlords. They're council houses that, you know, you ring up the council, you say, well, look, what there's four houses on one particular street I'm talking about at the top, boarded up. And they're, oh yeah, well, they're going into a queue now and we're waiting on the building teams to get in. So these houses are boarded up 6 months.
Well, like, I think every child deserves to have a roof over their head.
Absolutely.
And I don't mean like a hotel roof. I mean a home.
Yeah.
A place where you can call home. Do you know what I mean? Like, Ireland, it's 2024, guys. Like, we're not living in the 1960s anymore.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Half the money. This country is so rich. Just solve it. Just do something about it and sort it out.
Yeah.
We don't want to be out there every night doing what we're doing.
No.
We have to be.
I mean, your goal at the end of the day is to lock up the van and never take it.
I'd love to be able to drive home that van and say, you know what?
It's gone.
Everybody's sorted.
Yeah.
Do you know what I do? Cartwheels all over the place. I'm so happy for the people.
Yeah.
What's not going to happen?
Yeah.
It's not going to happen. So to answer that question, what they're going, I don't know what they're going to do, Paul, but you need to do something.
Have you any suggestions? Like what you would, if you got in front of someone now at the moment and Stranton, you would say, look, you have to fucking fix this now, this one thing now.
Yeah, on my end, what we do, like looking after the homeless, it's what I said, more addiction centres, more drop-in centres, yeah, more supports, more, you know, more banners, more publicity on the news about, listen, if you need help, call this number.
Yeah.
This is what needs to happen, you know, because people, walking out to people, you haven't a clue what's going on. Where do I go? What do I do?
Chris, you mentioned earlier on there, one of the lads that, you know, you sent up to Liverpool.
Yeah.
What was he coming to Liverpool for? Because
exactly.
Why did you have to?
We have centres over here, right? But they're only small. They don't hold a high amount of. There's only a handful of them over here.
Yeah.
And to wait for a centre over here could be an up to six months.
That's no use.
6 months. The players could be dead tomorrow.
Correct. Yeah.
So that's why we built up relationships with all different treatment centres and rehabs all over Europe, Germany, Spain, Liverpool, like Tipperary, Dublin, everywhere. Everywhere.
But I mean, I don't think anyone is really aware that effectively we are, you know, we're having to send, like when you're trying to help somebody out, you're working on relationships that you've built up in Germany, Liverpool, and all these other places, because effectively we don't have that on our doorstep.
Do you know what, guys? I had a vision right before. I said, to solve all this, a big building like this, say a 6-story building, right? And you just, if you got the funding, like it's so easy. Like you go in one door and there's different levels. Like each level you go, you're cleaner. You link in with the council, link in with you. Like it can be done, Paul. Do you know what I mean? It's a lot of work. But a lot of funding, but the government can deal with this.
Yeah.
And it's going in one door and you're climbing up each level. Before you get to the top level, you're cleaning your house and you're back out and it's just a ripple effect.
Yeah.
And before you know it, you know I'm coming to that door.
Yeah.
If the queues get lower and lower. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, in your business, like in any business, a trait will drop out. Like a system will drop out.
Yeah.
So surely in your business, you're going out, or not your business, it's completely voluntary. Yeah. But I mean, something's dropped, a trend drops out. You can say, well, this house here, and you come in, you go up the floors.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the typical thing we should be trying to get towards the government to say, well, look, put a plan behind this because it works. And if it works here, like we haven't even talked about Galway, we haven't talked about Wexford. Our place down in Wexford, used to see these lads walking up and down the seafront every night.
Yeah.
What the fuck are they doing? Being a completely different planet, homeless, but plus obviously the homeless people have got so down that they strap a block to their leg and off to the it's correct. And we're sitting there on our holidays going, I'm trying to figure out what he was doing. So I think people need to listen.
That affects you real bad, doesn't it? It's like that people's coming to that point in life where they don't see any way out, sticking a block to their leg and jumping into the ocean.
That's like, to me, that is like.
We don't know. And you know, I always say it takes a brave person to do something like that. So I remember when I was going through it, and I can remember bits and pieces of it. But I think my mind just went blank for a while when I was doing it. But it takes a brave person to do something like that. Yeah. And again, I'm thankful and grateful that I'm here and that's behind me. But to do something like that, like that's what's going on in their country.
Yeah. And you're seeing it firsthand.
Yeah.
So again, I'm going to get on to a bit of success stories because we know in every single, no matter in anything that ever happens, when you take someone in a really, really bad scenario and what you're doing is helping them, you obviously have, that we were at to discover now, a little small system.
Mm.
You use someone maybe a pot noodle, you build a relationship, they start to trust you, they believe, they get a little bit of hope maybe again in their life. Next thing you get them over, you got one lad over to Liverpool. He's in there stuck in your van now, and hopefully we'll get him up here to find out his bit of a story as well.
We've two going tomorrow, one to Liverpool and one to Germany. And then we've another two lined up for Liverpool again in 2 weeks' time. So that's every week we're sending probably two or three people away.
That's fantastic. Yeah. That's
what I love it, you know. As I said, it's not just going out giving a pot noodle and saying, see you after, good boy.
Yeah.
Look at us, look at what we're doing. It's not about that, because it's about going out and telling these guys just hope. Yeah. And you know, and Keith is one of them stories, and to have Keith in the van and to go out and for them to see Keith.
Brilliant.
Keith.
Yeah.
I remember I was only using with you like 2 years ago. I remember this to me, and then I say, guys, don't be talking about them stories. Tell them about where you were, Keith, and what you're doing and what you're doing now. Saying, I want that, can we do that? Like, Daisy, we can't call me tomorrow. And they will call tomorrow.
Yeah.
And you know, and they'll go. They'll get their lives back. And you know, there's graduations as well. You see people graduating from treatment centres. And to see that family coming out, our kids and our mother. And,
yeah, because it must be like we all are affected. I mean, Tara is as well, which we were talking about earlier on.
I think every family is
affected. Oh, yeah.
And you know, the heartache of the family, like, you know, if you've got a dad and you've got a son and the son is dipping in and out of addiction all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, that cripples a family. It's not just him. It's the whole family. Is crippled.
Oh, yeah.
The whole family is destroyed. Yeah. And they're not, and it's not just their, I always say it's not just the addict that's affected. When they go away to treatment, the family have to pick up the pieces.
That's right.
You know, whether it's bills, whether it's trauma, whether something's ever happening. Yeah. They're left to pick up all the pieces. Yeah. So that's what you need, family support as well, linked in with that as well. And most rehabs that we send, they will have family support. Someone would ring and they'd go to little groups in Dublin somewhere, sit down. And mothers would share their stories and get it off their chest.
Yeah.
So it's not just the addict goes away.
Yeah.
They get clean, but the family's left at home picking up the pieces.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? That's where more depression, more mental health, more addiction can come in.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's not just about them going, but
it's hard for the families around it because they've
had to deal with this. I can't imagine my son like being on my son came, he's 18, Tommy's on drugs. It would be devastating.
Yeah, now the life that's in there.
Do you know, because I know what's happening. Really, and that's why I'm so grateful for them to be able to help and to see the work we do. And look, I'm not saying never they'll touch drugs. I hope they don't touch drugs. Mm. And all I can do is encourage them and show them that it's the wrong place and the wrong thing to do. But again, it's just, but we send two or three away every couple of weeks, every week.
So all that must come with a cost.
Yeah, it does.
How in the name of Jesus do you keep these systems running? And how do you, it's a non-profitable, it sounds like a really, really difficult company you're running, but it's not a company, it's your passion, it's something you're doing, and you have volunteers doing for free. How the fuck do you keep it?
So with that part, so if we're sending someone away, I'll use Liverpool again, right?
Yeah.
They go to Liverpool on the boat, it's a €50 trip. You get boat and you get a connect train.
Yeah.
And the lads will pick you up at the train station now from the rehab in the minibus. It's totally free. It's all funded over there. The rehabs do funding over there. So when they go over in Liverpool, because they're not in the EU anymore, they claim a national insurance number.
Yeah.
And they're able to claim social welfare for that individual over there.
Yeah.
When they're over there in the house, they'll take probably 70 or 75% of their earnings every week for housekeeping, keep the house running, obviously. And then there's a rest putting it into a kitty for that guy. When he does graduate, he's going home on the weekend to see his kids. He has a few bobs, stuff like that. So it's totally free for the person. If someone hasn't got it, we'll give the €50.
Yeah.
Where does that come from? People bless us. People say, yeah, these are €100. Do something good with it. And that's where that comes into. You know, but most of the times when we ring the families of that person, they're happy to give the €50. Yeah, yeah. They're happy to book the plane. Yeah, they're happy to book the train and off they go, you know. Yeah. So,
but the commitment is you have to try and get them to want to go. Yeah. That's the hard part. It's not about the €50. So but your average night then, like filling the vans, putting diesel in the vans, doesn't drop out of the sky for you.
The diesel for the van, we've been so lucky with a girl that helps us, her name is Jane. And, you know, she, I don't know if Jane is a millionaire or what she is, I don't know, but she gave us a diesel card for one of her vans and it's free diesel for as long as you want.
Wow.
You know, so that's one of her vans covered. The new van we got at the moment, we just kind of fill it as we go.
Right. And what's it cost you, like?
To fill the van.
Yeah, and how long will that fill last year?
So, for instance, that van out there, probably €100, you probably get 3 nights, 3-4 nights.
Okay. Right, so it's a cost.
It's a cost. And then to fill the vans inside, guys, this is where it gets so much, you know, like one side of the van, say all the pot noodles, the soups, the crepes, the lemonade, we're talking probably 250, 300 quid a night, right?
Yeah.
Now, over the far side is where it gets very expensive. You have the sleeping bags, you have the stockings, you have the underwear, you have the toiletries, you have the thermal stuff. Like, you're talking for that fan over there on a busy night, probably €600-700 on that side.
Jesus Christ.
You know, where do we get that money? We don't get the money we get. Sometimes we get the money.
Yeah.
But most times people
donate stuff.
Don't. And that's why we're always on social media.
Okay, right.
That's why we're always, you see me always begging and
begging
for help. And have we ever let down? No, we're not. Since we started, we said this at the start. If we only have tea and biscuits, we'll still go out. But thankfully, we haven't come to that yet.
Yeah, yeah.
Because people know, people see what we're doing and people see the need for it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm not the only.
I certainly came into tonight, Paul, and I'm not sure you do as well. Yeah. We had no concept of what it was going to, what it was cost to fill that.
Where your
diesel's going to end up, and the cost on one side of the van, the cost on the other side. Yeah.
And then to some nights, like, you wouldn't have stuff, you'd have to go to Lidl, you'd have a bit of fuel bob there, and that'd be gone. But it just keeps coming and coming and going, you know, and you just ask for more help, and people will help.
Yeah.
You know, and look at one thing I'll tell you about Irish. The Irish are brilliant. You know, they're absolutely
brilliant. You have to get them in the headlock sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes.
Like, rattle your bleeding pockets there, you know, get something out.
Well, and I said this at the start, someone will give you a five and they say, oh, it's not worth it. €5 was five pot noodles. That's five meals.
I know. Yeah.
That's five meals.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? You look at it that way, like, you know, people, nothing's too small. It doesn't matter what it is. If that's going to help, it'll help. Mm.
So can I ask another question on it as well? You know, when social media kicks in and the publicity of it, like, would you ever get to a stage, or do you have a draw off point of, if lads are just pulling up to get a fucking pot noodle off you? Like, is there a certain point you go, that's for the homeless? Like, are you getting into that?
It's hard to look at. It's hard. I'll tell you a story, right? When we started a good few years ago, a girl pulled up in a big white Range Rover, right? This is a true story. I'm not joking here, right? And there was COVID times, every time with that mask, and there was probably about 200 or 300 people waiting for. We used to give out field hampers in the morning to people, right? And there was crowds of people. So she pulls up in that Jeep, and out she gets in that Jeep, and she calls us in. She said, can I ask you a favor? I said, yes. So she started bawling, crying. She lived in the big house up in wherever it was, and her mother and father passed away. She's woken her ass off to pay the mortgage. She's going to lose the home. The car she had to give back in 2 weeks' time because it was gone.
Yeah.
And she just told us a whole life story. And we gave her a bag, right? We gave her a bag, and off she goes out into the car. And you should have heard the people in the kids. You should have heard. Disgraceful. Look at the car she's driving. We're standing here the last hour and she's coming out with two bags. And they're saying to herself, but quick to judge.
Yeah.
You know, but we listened to that girl's story and we looked after her for a long time, and she did lose the house. She did lose the car. But she got her own little place, thank God. And she's doing all right now, as far as I'm aware. But that's just one story of what happens. And if someone comes to the van, Paul, we can't. I wouldn't refuse anyway. Someone comes to the van. Now, look, we do know some people that. And milk it.
Yeah.
And they'd come to the van, and we'd have little separate bags made for the likes of them people. Just a little few bits and say, there you go.
Yeah.
Because we know they're only milking, you know.
Yeah.
But again, we'd never refuse anybody, because you can't, you don't know what's going on in people's heads, guys. You don't.
Absolutely.
Like,
and if that one girl has come from probably having a few quid, I mean, she could be going down now to say, this is all over.
Yeah.
And her brain will completely switch off, and then all these other things will kick in, and she could be literally, you know, on in that doorway the following week. Because when your brain shuts out, it's gone.
It's game over, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know.
A couple of positives. Then you have you're in the middle of registering fully.
So we're nearly there. A lot of walking that we had to set a border. We had to get the rectors. Look at. I want to say one thing, right? When we started this, we never wanted to become this, right? But what we have to make it become this now. We just wanted to go out and just feed our homeless. And we never wanted it to turn into something as it's turned into. But it has to be done.
Yeah.
We can't break the law. We have to go forward. This is what all these bylaws coming in now. We have to engage with them. So we're nearly there. Another couple of months.
That's great.
You know, we do have a bank account at the moment. We do have, like, accountability. We have, we're registered as a company. You know, we are out there and we're well known, and people trust us. And, you know, we have an accountant, we have an admin. It feels great even saying that, you know.
You're right, businessman now.
I'm going to CEO. So it's happening, and it's coming, you know, and we're so touched and we're so grateful for it. And maybe when we do get this, the government will support us in some way. I'm hoping they will.
Yeah.
You know, but my goal is to have that rehab centre. Doesn't matter if it's a house that I can hold five people. That's five people saved.
You can see this rehab centre out here in your head.
I can see it. I have people lined up to walk in and all that. I have things ready for it, Paul, you know. But it is going to happen.
And when I say something's going to happen,
I'll chase that goal and I'll keep plugging on till I get it.
I will get it.
You've seen a model in Liverpool that's actually... Is producing results.
Most of them are just normal houses, just kitted out. You know, they'll hold three or four people. And they're all over the places.
Listen, we've got some of the best minds in the country locked in here in Platinum.
Yeah.
And, you know, if there's something that we can do in the future to help you, believe me.
Yeah.
Lads, we'll definitely, definitely help you. So how can Platinum help you? Obviously, take that aside. We will do that for you. It is a building that with expertise and your team and
I'm enjoying this.
You're a pro at it.
Yeah, I love talking about helping people and giving people hope. And this is a message of hope as well for someone. Maybe there's one of your listeners listening tonight that's struggling and you know, that's getting like you wouldn't know, guys. You wouldn't know it was, you know, and that's what it's all about. But what you can do is just keep advertising, keep, like as you said, if you can do the podcast and stuff like that, getting the message out there, that's all we ask for.
Yeah,
that's all we ask for.
I mean, if you set aside, you know, even thinking that often, set aside a evening here, maybe once a month or something like that, that basically you've the run of the place, you could bring in somebody to
get I'd love to be able to share, like, for instance, I'll just keep using Keith's story. I'd love people to see that because that's a torn. That's incredible.
I'll make this commitment now. Yeah. We'll give you whatever support you need that we can this side of the table. Yeah. So, if you want to take this chair on whatever night you want, I don't care if it's doing the morning.
We'll have to get a few skills off, you know, Paul.
That other man that's sitting over there, you can keep him.
I'm not sure though. I think you'd be able to handle this side of the microphone very well on your own.
It reminds me of something else, and I guess it's just because I have a passion for this, and I just.
Any of your podcasts for what you're bringing people in there will be about your passion.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
You know, there's no reason why.
No, effectively,
you're not bringing somebody in here to talk about property or you know some other subject. You're actually bringing anybody you bring in here for your podcast that you're giving your
be back in an hour.
You're queuing them outside. But again, we're known for setting the agenda. Like we physically said last week that this was going to happen. It's happened. Built it. I see something. We're doing it. And it's done.
Yeah.
So if you commit to that, we start straight away. Next month.
Paul, can I say something before I go? Like, since I've spoke to you on the phone, it's been nothing but nice. Your company, like all of his. Mean this all tonight. It's just incredible, guys. And I don't say that lighthearted. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. Thank you so much for recognizing us for what we do. And, you know, we're so grateful. And, you know, like I said, to talk on something like this and to get the message out there and for you to sit there and listen, you know, and to take it in. And I hope it did get a message across.
You absolutely did.
And what we're about and what we do. Yeah. Just you keep doing what you're doing, incredible what you're doing, and keep plugging on.
We'll support you whatever way we can. If that unfortunately, it's terrible. I won't forget to see there. But if your wife didn't forget the horse that day,
it'd
be none of this shit. So you have a great family.
But I'm okay. Before I couldn't share that story, you know, but now I tell everybody that.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
That's a hope message.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's more to that than a rope hanging over the door.
Well, Chris, you've been great. This is the start of something big. So what I've done, a lot of people will watch here. There's a lot of successful people here. There's people that have come to the wall. There's people that have been broken in half through trying to get. Everyone thinks property is an easy game. It's very, very challenging. Yeah. Done wrong. Done right, it can be rewarding. Done wrong, it can absolutely crack you. I've pushed my group and I've asked them to give you a little bit of help. You're the one that's out there doing it, so we're not. So I think sometimes we feel a little bit guilty and we're like, we want to do something. We want to go out in the vans with you. We want to go out and see what it's like out there on the real, our streets of Dublin. And we're definitely going to do that. But I've asked the group to try and put something together to give a little bit of hope, to let you do your thing.
Yeah.
And for you to give a little bit more runway to you, because you're doing a fantastic job.
Yeah.
You're doing a fantastic thing. So we asked them to all put a small little donation together. It's not much.
Yeah.
Also on the back of that as well, we want to do something long-term, which as well, where we're helping out long-term. Plus, if you came back to me next week or you rang into the office and said, we're doing this on Wednesday night, that would be an honour for me too.
Yeah, brilliant. Thank you.
We haven't got check, sorry. We just wrote it down and we'll give you.
We haven't got a check, but yeah. This is not from me. This is from. This is from on behalf of our group.
Yeah. So you want me to open this?
Yeah. You can open it. You can.
Nice. Okay.
It's not huge, but I mean, all the companies that are in our group and our own people.
Wow.
Should give you a little bit more runway to keep you doing what you do.
Thanks very much, man. That's incredible. Thank you, bro. Thank you. Super. Thanks very much. Well, and you said that's not. Can I show you?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
It's not. So it was €189.
Yeah. No, you had to get me being hot that. Now.
That is absolute. Look at. Thank you. Look at. So everybody, like, I'm speechless. I'm speechless. Thank you so much. That's like. Going to help so much, but it's going to help so much.
Group,
you know, thank you guys very much. I need to get an emotion now, but look at it means so much. I don't know what to say. Just thank you very much. Honestly, no problem, thanks a lot to each and every one of you. That's incredible. €5,189. That's going to help so much.
Good. Yeah.
Really is.
Yeah.
And that's what I think. You know, we know even by chatting to you.
So you said that's not. I wouldn't like to see what's a lot.
It's a lot of money. But let me tell you, I'm only warming up. We'll be able to help you with other things in the future. Yeah. And I think even by you getting your bit of a podcast out, even us helping you with the equipment or whatever, and getting your message out, it'll do a lot more than that'll do, and it'll bring it in. And I mean, you're gonna. If you're taking one pot noodle, that's 5,000.
Well, that's what I was going to say. 5,000. I don't think I fit them all in the van. But guys, a few things that I'll go towards much needed sleeping bags, tents, underwear, stockings, toiletries, and probably sending people away to rehab as well.
Yeah.
That is the most important thing. Sometimes we bring a homeless guy out like before he goes away, and we bring him into town, probably at the pennies, and we dress him in new clothes just to make him feel good. Yeah. So that's where that money goes to, and that's, you know, we try build that confidence before we go. Some of them do leg and we buy the new clothes, but look at we try it, you know. But that's where it's gonna go. So thanks to all of your staff and whoever supported this.
Yeah.
We're so grateful. Yeah, thanks very much.
Well done, and you do a fantastic job. Thanks a million. Okay, so that's the Liberty Super Run, and that's what Chris does. Myself and Ed.
Yeah.
Any last final?
No. It's been inspiring, I think. And I drove up from Cork. Specifically. I'm not living down in Cork, but I'm on my way back to Dublin. I know that. Well, I think it's the capital of Ireland after your man winning the Oscar last night. But it was worth my time.
Thanks for listening.
Ed, what was your nephew's name?
Daniel.
Look, I mean, we all have been touched with it. So just keep doing what you're doing. You're doing fantastic work.
Yeah.
Right. Thank you very much. I'll see you all soon.
Welcome to Platinum Property Training's podcast, where we will be talking about business, money, and let's not forget the economy, real estate, and bringing in real inspirations. These are people that are doing some great things in our world. Like, share, add this to your playlist, and subscribe to keep track of our updates. Okay, you beautiful people, sit back, relax, let's listen, and let's get down to business.